Junior hierarchs were circulating through the group handing things out. I got a shopping bag from a local department store. Inside were a pair of dungarees, a shirt, drawers, socks, and on the bottom, a pair of walking shoes. A minute later, I was handed a knapsack. Inside was a water bottle, a poly bag containing toiletries, and a money card. There was also a wristwatch. It took me a while to understand why. Once we got more than a couple of miles from San Edhar, we'd have no way of knowing the time. Sir Tristanus addressed us. "Your destination is the consent of Sant Tredegar," she announced.
"Is it a convox?"
someone asked.
"It is now," she answered.
This killed all discussion for a minute as everyone absorbed that news.
"How are we to get there?" Tullia asked.
"Any way you can," said Tristanus.
"What?" That, or some variation of it, came from all of the evoked at once. Part of the romance of Voco, a small consolation for being ripped away from everyone you knew, was that you got whisked away in some kind of vehicle, as Frau Paflagon had been, instead of which we'd been issued walking shoes.
"You are not to wear the bolt and the cord under the open sky, night or day," Tristanus went on. "Spheres are to be kept fist-sized or smaller and not used to make light. You are not to walk out of this gate altogether. We'll have you emerge in groups of two or three. Later, if you want, you can meet up somewhere, away from the consent, preferably underneath something."
"What is the resolution of their surveillance?" Leo asked.
"We have no idea."
"Sant Tredegar's is 2,000 miles away," Barb mentioned.
In case this was of interest, which it was.
"There are local organizations connected with ARCs that are trying to round up vehicles and drivers to get you there."
"Warden of Heaven people?"
Arcibald asked. He beat me to it.
"Some of them," Tristanus said.
"No thanks," someone called out. "One of those people tried to convert me during Appert. Her arguments were pathetic."
"Ho, ho, 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 ho,"
went someone very close to me. I turned and looked. It was Fra Jad, standing behind me with his shopping bag and his knapsack. He wasn't laughing that loudly, so no one else had noticed him. He smelled like smoke. He had not bothered to look into the shopping bag yet. He saw my head turn and looked me in the eye, very amused.
"The powers that be must be pissing their pants," he said, "or whatever they wear nowadays."
Everyone else was too stunned by all that had happened to say much. Here I had an advantage. I had gotten used to being stunned, like Leo was used to being punched in the head. I climbed up onto a stone bench that had been placed where visitors could sit on it and watch the orrery.
"South of the consent, not far from the sentry gate, west of the river, there's a great roof on stilts that straddles a canal. Next to it is a machine hall. You can't miss it. It's the biggest structure in the neighborhood by far. We can meet there under cover. Go there in small groups like Sir Tristanus said. We'll convene there later and come up with a plan."
"What time shall we meet?"
asked one of the hundreders. I considered it.
"Let's meet when they ring provener,"